Good morning. Would you all please rise for our opening song?
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Good morning, everyone. Have a chair. Please be seated. most of you know me. My name is Susie Burley. I am the bookkeeper here at the church. And also, though, I did serve a 2-year stint as a licensed local pastor down in the Arkansas Valley where I'm from. It's a busy day today in the church. Our pastors are off at the annual conference of the Mountain Sky Conference in Montana. I don't know if Steve is, but Sarah is. And I am here to represent you. I am a lay person, and I am today's lay speaker. We have a lot going on in the church this week. We really, really have had. We've had Bible school. And today is Trinity Sunday, which unfortunately I am not covering in my sermon, but you do know about the Trinity, so I'll just leave you with that knowledge that you have. It's Peace with Justice Sunday. You have the little envelopes in your bulletins. These are gifts that go to the annual church, the big church in Nashville. They have 6 special Sundays, and Peace with Justice goes mainly for international programs. This year, as you can read, they are to benefit the Palestinian Christians, a much overlooked and persecuted minority. But it's also a very important day for you guys, right? It's Happy Father's Day to all of you. Let's give them all a hand, okay? Now, I'd like you to rise again and greet one another with a handshake or a hug. Okay, everyone, we're going to be entertained now by Larissa chatting to us about Bible school. And we have quite a few Bible school students here. So Larissa, I'm going to turn this over to you now.
Okay, well, guys, you want to come up and tell us about Vacation Bible School? I see Boone is here. I see our church friends are here. You guys, come up and let's talk about it for a minute. So, I don't know that we have music to sing today, which we were hoping to do, but we can at least make sure we share what we did this week at VBS, right? So this week at Vacation Bible School, we had about 100 kids in this room singing and dancing and praising, and all kinds of fun stuff went on. We learned that God is good, right? Every day we had a Bible point, and we met a Bible buddy that taught us all about how God is good. We learned that when life is unfair. We learned that when life is scary. We learned that when life changes. We learned that when life is sad. And we learned that when life is good. Yes, we had an excellent week. We had some pretty awesome volunteers this week, leaders and helpers. If you were here, just wave your hand. So many people here this week to make sure our Vacation Bible School ran smoothly and that we had an awesome time and everybody was happy and safe, right? Did we have a good week, you guys? We had an excellent week, didn't we? And I'm so glad you guys came to VBS. Maybe we can say a quick prayer for everybody. Can you guys put your hands together with me? And say, hey, God, thanks for VBS. We had so much fun. And help us to remember in everything we do that God is good. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. One more job. I'm all frazzled over VBS stuff, but we got one more job. Come here, guys. More quick. I have one more thing for you guys to do. So, today is our, we're celebrating Vacation Bible School, but today's also a special day. What's a special day for? It's Father's Day. That's right. Today is a day that we get to give our dads extra big hugs and tell them how much we love them because it's a special day just for them. Here at Mountain View, we are going to thank all of the men in our congregation. All of these guys here who help lead us, who help teach us, who help guide us through this whole life, right? We couldn't do it without these guys that are here with us. So whether or not they are dads or uncles or brothers or cousins or whatever, they mean a lot to us, don't they? So we have a prize for them. So, where did it go? I just saw them. Oh, they're on this side. I'm sorry, guys. It's been a week. I don't know if you guys all knew this. We have barbecue sauce for each of the guys here in this sanctuary. So can you guys all grab a few and go pass them out, okay, to all the guys here.
Indeed, happy Father's Day. Thank you, children, very much. I want you to know that Bible school was just fantastic. Larissa is upset because we didn't hear the music, and it was so good. But it was all good. You can just imagine the music. You can imagine 100 kids singing and dancing and making fun of Isaac and making fun of the little, his helper. I can't think of her name. Boy, they had a good time. They really had a good time this year. And now, I would like to ask you to stand for our old-fashioned call to worship. This is from our Psalter, and it goes, "Our souls wait for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning." Come, let us worship the one who hears our cries and is attentive to our pleas. Thank you, and be seated, please. This morning in our bulletin, I'd like to call your attention to the joys and concerns, the prayer column. We are still keeping Sharon Sang and Kitty Lewis in our prayers, and this week we have added Lance and Nikki. Lance and Nikki are friends of Lee Cordelieu's. They're a married couple, and they have both been stricken ill with rather grave conditions, and the saddest part of this for them is that neither one is able to help the other one at this time. So prayers for Lance and Nikki. Is there anybody else that anyone would like to lift up? Where are you? Oh my gosh. I'm in. I'm blind as a bat. Thank you, trustees. All right. If you would bow your heads, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for your care and love for all of us. But we ask that you especially hold tight the persons that we have lifted up by name this morning. Please watch over, guide, and protect our national, state, and local leaders in government, in health, in safety, and bless our churches. We ask your blessing specifically this morning on the Mountain Sky Conference as they, like we, are in worship right now. We ask that as the leadership of our church takes planes, trains, or automobiles home to their people, you watch over them and watch over their churches. We ask all of these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now if the ushers would come forward, please, we will have our offering. And I do ask that you consider a gift to the Peace with Justice Mission. And if you put a check in the envelope and put it in the offering, I'll come in tomorrow as your bookkeeper and send it on its way. Thank you.
are you, O Lord, of all of our thanks and praise. Your love made the way to come home today. We will honor you all our days.
Gracious God, may our gifts today bring hope to those who are despairing, comfort to those who are grieving, nurture to those who are growing, and inspiration to those who are striving to answer Christ's call. Amen. And while we're standing, let's go right ahead with our congregational song, To God Be the Glory, and this was one of the songs from Vacation Bible School. So we're going to sing it in the grown-up fashion for these youngsters. Be seated.
Good morning. I would like you to participate in the reading of the scripture. So when the scripture comes up, would you please read along with me? And we begin with, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Ephesians 4, 5, 24, 2. And to clothe yourselves with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for a day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Linda. The message this morning is on this scripture, but on other scriptures too. I kind of want to take a hop, skip, and a jump through the Bible to look at different writing styles before we get to Paul. And I need to tell you that I did get very sick this week, and I did not practice that much, but I'm going to try. I'm really going to try. In teaching Bible school this week, I was with a team of other ladies. There was Frances Boggs and Lynn Pierce. Are you guys here? And Susan Rhodes and myself. And I got to tell you, folks, we're not young. We aren't even a little bit young. So, of course, we had 26 kids, and they were the third through fifth graders. High energy bunch, let me tell you. So we were breaking out according to our natural skills, what jobs we would do, and I was kind of selected by no one to do the Bible lesson. Well, these kids are old enough, they can all read and write, and so I did the deal. You know, you open your Bible in the middle, you're in Psalms. You open the back half, you're in the New Testament. The big numbers are for the chapters. The little numbers are for the verses. Watch out for the Roman numerals in front. Always remember those. And when we would get there, then, to the Bible verse or chapter in some cases, they would always say, "What page is it on?" But hey, you know. I tried, and it is important that we work with them because we had children from our church. We had Jameson, our wonderful Jameson, and we had children from other churches who were really nice. Their names were things like Grace, and then there were kids who were unchurched, and then there were a few kids who were not Christians. So where are they going to learn this? Where on earth are most of those kids ever going to learn this except in Bible school? So I'm just your old drag Bible school teacher. Oh, open your Bible. But the amazing thing is when you read to them from the Bible, no matter how high the energy, they totally stop. They are enraptured. Particularly, they were enraptured by the 23rd Psalm. It didn't matter where these kids were from, what their nationality, what their background, what their training. They knew sacred scripture when they heard it. So The Psalms offer us the love of God, the protection of God, in poetry. And then when you move on to the New Testament, well, I like to use the illustration of the parables. Parables are stories with a predictable ending that doesn't happen. Instead, Jesus turned the ending upside down and inside out and gives you something beautiful. Now, take the prodigal son, for example. It is only found in St. Luke, and if I was St. Luke, I would have edited it a little heavily. It would have been something like this. I was standing out at the gate to the farm the other day, and lo and behold, my youngest son came wandering up the lane, and he fell down in front of me and said, "Mom, I'm starving. You gave me my inheritance, and I've squandered it all, and I just want to come back and work for you. I just need a place to live. I don't have anything to eat. I'm just going to die." And I would say, "Okay, sure. You can live in that shed by the barn if you clean it out. You can eat with the workers. You can harvest every year. You can take care of sheep. You can build me some sheep sheds. And in a couple of years, we'll talk. And by the way, your brother was really good to me while you were gone." But I would have missed the point. There's a little bit of grace in there, a little thread of grace. But the prodigal son story is full of grace. Luke offered us Jesus' word of unconditional love like a verbal jewel. And he wrapped it in the blanket of beauty and grace and acceptance. And that story sticks in our mind forever. What a story of grace. And then we have another guy that we don't hear from very often in Scripture, and that's St. Peter. We do believe that St. Peter was illiterate, but if you read the letters of Peter, the 1st and 2nd Peter letters, you wouldn't think he was illiterate. I don't know whether he dictated these or it was from one of his followers, but wow. It is lofty stuff. Let me see if I can. I'm reading here from 1 Peter 1, 13 to 25. "Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you were living in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all that you do." Pretty ethereal, isn't it? It's kind of up there in a loftiness and inspiration, but not a lot of practical advice. So in his wisdom, after giving us Jesus, after giving us the disciples, after sending them out to start new churches, God gave us Paul. And in today's message, Paul, in very clear-cut Greek or English or however you read it, he gave us clear-cut instructions on how to be good Christians. We are to be of renewed minds and transformed hearts as Christian believers. And we have responsibilities to live in this transformed way. First, he addresses the arena of our words. The things we say and how we say them are an indicator of what's in our hearts. When our hearts are right, our words will be right. But when something is amiss, if we are out of step with the Lord, our words will reveal that also. Keeping this in mind, look at how Paul directs us. First of all, he said, put away lying. Well, now, how hard is this? I mean, I have to say I'm not much of a liar. It's just a little portion of my sin basket, you know? I'm not bad at this, and I don't see any real liars out in this crowd either. But lying does debilitate and disempower the person who's lied to. I'm going to give you some examples that may occur in your own life. For women, and some men, occasionally, the clothing industry has told us a whopper: one size fits all. Or how about this? The nurse says, oh, the doctor will call you back in 5 minutes with the results of your test. Uh-huh, yeah. Oh, wow, do I have strep throat or cancer? I don't know. Cancer? I don't know. Yeah, it's disempowering. Lying to people is disempowering. Another thing we need to watch out for, and this is personally directed to myself, is to guard against using our words sharply. One of the great Greek philosophers, and I don't know which one, said, I have often regretted my speech, but I have never regretted my silence. Note to self, remember that. Another way to use our speech wisely is to build others up. Stress their positive points, give them compliments, show that you're proud of their strengths. If for any reason you need that you have to correct someone, do it gently, do it kindly, always emphasizing their strengths and what good Christians they are and what good Christians they can be. Well, going forward, remember gossiping, talking behind people's backs, using the truth as a club to wound and hurt others. When we do these things, we are not pleasing God, even if we're right. We are to minister to people with grace. Anyone who hears us, we should address with grace. And if that doesn't make sense to you, just think about Max Cophan. There was a man who spoke with grace. Now, next, Paul talks about anger, and he's kind of giving us a mixed message here because, not all anger is bad. In fact, holy anger is a fearsome thing. Jesus himself displayed anger on a number of occasions, and we do too. The right kind of anger is wholesome, healthy, and godly. And there really are some things that should make our blood boil. I mean, think of the Yazidis, think of Syria, think of things that are going on in the world and how people are suffering and dying needlessly. There are poor and less fortunate people than us who are being mistreated every day. But we need to keep a governor on our anger, or anyhow I do. That's why Paul included the admonition, be angry and sin not. Okay, that's two verses of the scripture. Now let's move on, maybe even at a faster clip. Next, Paul takes up the topic of work. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Wow. I don't really think any of my high school instructors in where to go get a job and what to study at college ever told me that the object of working was to be able to help those in need. But Jesus did, and Paul did. Then Paul lists some things to put away from us: bitterness, wrath, clamor, and slander. They need to be put behind us. Well, that makes good sense, because bitterness is just like a smoldering sore that doesn't get well. And if we give into it, we are eating a feast of resentment. But after the feast, the only thing that's left is our bones, our own bones. We just don't benefit in any way from living with resentment and bitterness. So, what are we supposed to do? I'm sorry. Let me repeat what Paul tells us. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Then he says, be imitators of God. As beloved children, imitate their parents. Then he mentions forgiveness. I don't have a lot to say on forgiveness, because Linda Gertenbach, our beloved Linda, told me once that forgiveness is the 11th commandment. Full stop. Boy, these few verses give us a lot to chew on. They're a good guide to living a Christian life. Why do we want to do this? Because Christ lived this way, and we are to be imitators of him. Christ's teachings were so valuable that many of them have kind of been incorporated into our government. I mean, one of the worst offenses of cheating and lying was a heavy thumb on the scale when Paul and Jesus were in business. See, you have the scale right there. But we don't have that anymore. This is America. We have the Bureau of Standards right here in Boulder, Colorado. If something says it's a pound, by golly, it is. If it says it's a gallon of gas, by golly, it is. So we have so much to help us. We don't have to work and then find a needy person and give them a box of Cheerios. We can put it right out here in the grocery cart, and Glenn and Bonnie will take it out there every week. One grocery cart doesn't look like a lot of groceries, but 52 of them does. The United Methodist Church makes it almost painless for us to help the needy, the poor, the downtrodden. Peace with Justice envelopes. And the other five special Sundays, it's so easy and so transforming to live the Christian life. We are to be imitators of Christ. Our motivation is to be the same as Jesus' motivation. We can't always walk in his sandals, but we can always try. This is the difference that marks us as the children of God, as followers of Jesus. The peace that ensues in our life as a result of the transformation of living like Jesus. And the blessing that ensues is captured in the final verse, 5:2. And walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Paul calls us to be the best Christian we can be. And who could have said anything better than Paul on this topic? Thank you. And I would like you to bow your heads now for a moment of silent meditation. And our meditation response is Spirit of the Living God. You may stand if you wish. Ask you to remain standing for a while. We are going to have our congregation song, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. We're going to have a responsive benediction. And then, if you would remain standing for We Are Blessed at the end of our service. So our congregation song is Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. Responsive benediction. Go as God's beloved children. Live in love, speak with kindness, and build up the kingdom of God. And together, in all that you say and all that you do, live in love as Christ loved you. And now we are blessed.
Let us praise God with our voices. Let us sing unto the Lord. He is righteous, he is holy, he's the source of life and love. Let us praise Father, for our Savior, in your will and
and thank you for coming this morning.